The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors right here on WCBM 680. WCBM 680 also happens to be the phone number, but today's show is pre-recorded, so we're not going to be able to take any calls. However, we're probably going to be giving a muzzleloader away the end of this month. So what I'd like you to do to get in the drawing is to email me, name and phone number, to Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com, and the fine folks at CVA, CVA.com, if you want to go there and look at the great, great muzzleloaders that those guys have, feel free to do so. But they're also giving away muzzleloaders again this year. So I'm saying that in confidence, pre-recording this show prior to approval of that. But hey, we've been doing it for 10 years. No reason why they should turn us down now. And guess what? If they turn us down, I'll still promote them, and I'll at least give one away for October anyway. How's that sound? Email me, Ellis at EllisOutdoors.com. All right. We've got today's hot topic. Today's hot topic happens to be suppressors. Now, I told you about suppressors a while back. I talked about it a little bit, but with us today is Tim Hafer from Hafer's Gunsmithing, our great sponsor from up in Hagerstown. And Tim is a Class 3 dealer, which means he is allowed to sell suppressors to the general public. But Tim, you and I had a chat about this at the store for a while, and I'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about suppressors right now. Let's start with the very simplest of questions. Are suppressors legal to use in Maryland?
Yes, sir. They're legal to own, possess, and to hunt with.
Okay, good. That's good. That's a good thing to know for our listeners. If anybody's interested in using a suppressor, common name is a silencer, but they're not really a silencer. They don't actually silence the sound completely. They more or less suppress the decibels, I guess. Can you give us an idea by how much percentage-wise, perhaps?
The best way to me to comment on that is it lowers it low enough that the individual does not need to have hearing protection. They can safely shoot by OSHA standards their firearm without having to have hearing protection.
Really? Well, that's interesting. And tell you why this subject came up on today in particular. Back on September... What day was it? 17th, I guess. A couple of Saturdays ago, the Maryland Legislative Sportsmen's Caucus met together up there in your area, up at Woodmont, and they had some representatives from one of the manufacturers, Silencer Co. Am I saying that correct?
Yes, sir.
Correctly? Silencer Co. was there, and members of the Maryland General Assembly, those who are interested in sportsmen's issues, and particularly in hunting, got to fire suppressor-equipped firearms, and I think they thought it was pretty cool. And looking on your website at hafersguns.com, you've got some radio guys from up your way and some other folks up there that are out there on a range, and they're shooting suppressor-equipped firearms, shotguns, handguns, and everything else. And it does look to me, I've never fired one, but it does look to me to be like a pretty cool thing. Is it a novelty, or is there a useful purpose? Let's just put it in a hunting perspective.
It has a very useful purpose. At one point in time, people that watch movies and stuff get a misconception of the thing. Like you said, everybody wants to call them silencers, but they're not. They're suppressors, and they do suppress the sound. using the proper ammunition with the suppressor. One of the biggest things, especially as the population grows about, houses come about, you know, you get neighbors that don't want to hear the bang, 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 and now you'll be able to use your suppressor. Obviously, if you want to check your local authority to be able to see if you can shoot near your house or that location. But it will be able to suppress the sound. Two, it suppresses the sound enough so you do not need hearing protection, so it's safer for your hearing as well.
Exactly. Safer for your hearing, and it does reduce the sound that's emitted from the firearm.
One of the other big advantages, it also reduces the recoil. If you watch the video on that we have on our website,
yeah,
the ladies were able to shoot the semi-automatic shotgun with a suppressor, and they're like, "That's amazing! It doesn't kick at all."
Right. So it reduces the sound and the recoil effect of the firearm. What happens to that expanding gas that makes that noise when it comes out the end of the barrel? Tell me what the suppressor does, how it handles it, what does it do?
In most cases, it goes through channels of chambers, which in turn reduces the recoil, and it also reduces the sonic boom that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's important, too, in order for it to work truly the way it's intended, you need subsonic ammunition. So the ammunition, when it exits the bullet muzzle, it must reduce less or come out less than the sonic boom.
Okay. And for deer hunting, for example, one manufacturer that I know of does manufacture, a couple, I guess, manufacture that subsonic ammunition. I think Lightfield is one that does that. Is that correct?
As I recall, yes.
Yeah, Lightfield is one that does that. So, okay, well, you briefly explained how this works, and now I'm excited. I want to get one. Okay, so I'm going to get you. I'm going to bring $50 to your shop and walk out the door with one. Does that work?
No, sir. That does not work.
Okay. What does work?
What does work is the BATF says that you need to pay a tax on the stamp.
BATF. So, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, federal government agency that handles all the background checks and so forth for firearms.
Correct. That is correct.
Okay. So they want a tax?
It is true. It's a tax stamp.
The government wants a tax.
That is correct. It'll be the most expensive stamp you'll buy.
Okay. So it's a stamp I'm applying for.
Correct.
All right. I walk into your shop. I say, Tim, look, I'm going to deer hunt, and I've got permission to hunt, but they are upset about the sound that my shotgun makes. So I want to buy a shotgun suppressor for my deer shotgun. You got one?
We do. Silencer Co. initiated the shotgun suppressor.
Right.
There's not as many variety of shotgun suppressors out there. The number one for us is Silencer Co.
Right. Okay.
So there's not a lot of options there, so we're very limited.
Okay. So, but you're going to be able to help me here. So,
yes.
Here's my 870 special purpose deer shotgun. What do I need to do?
In most cases, we go over with you, the individual. You know what kind of shotgun you have.
Right.
Is it rifle? Does it need to be threaded? Because we could always thread it for a choke tube.
Right.
Or a system that's used.
Right.
And then we go from there to try to help the customer better.
Okay, so I have a rifled barrel Remington 870 12 gauge. And
Silencer Co. Doesn't recommend for a rifled slug, and we're in the process of working with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to come up with a solution, because that is the number one thing. You're having people that hunt shotgun with slugs and
yeah.
be able to use that suppressor.
Yeah, okay. All right. So it's not the perfect solution for every scenario.
Correct, and you also have to start somewhere. Like I said, Silencer Co. was one that initiated and went above and beyond for that shotgun.
For the shotgun, yeah, suppressor.
Yes, sir.
I got it. Okay, let me change the scenario. I'm in Frederick County, and I'm right on the border of the rifle and shotgun zone up there, and I've got a nice farm to hunt. I'm really safe, but you know, I'm 150 yards is a safety zone. About 250 yards from the houses is where I hunt. So I really don't want to bring a lot of attention to myself with my Browning A bolt in 270. Can you help me out?
Yes.
Okay. You can help me out. So where do I start? You need to get that?
No. I didn't realize the other one was in here.
No problem. So can you help me out with that?
Yes.
Okay, what do I need to do? Step one, two, three, four.
So we go through the customer. We optimize exactly what suppressor system will work best for you.
Okay.
We stock multiple suppressors so you can actually get your hands on. We can discuss it. We can look at it. It's great to look at stuff, explain some things. Thread patterns, a different size, whatever it needs to go about. But we work with the customer the best that we're able to get you your best option.
Mm-hmm.
So once we figure out that option, more than likely we have the suppressor in stock.
Okay.
And on our end, I can't speak for other places, but on our end, we do all the paperwork for you.
Okay.
We just get your signature. We make sure all the ducks are in a row.
Well, wait a minute. How much is this going to cost me?
Well, suppressors are cheap.
Okay.
So you want to play, you got to pay a little bit.
Sounds like federal government.
Yeah, well,
or state government.
So they control the price a little bit on something.
Yeah. Okay, so hey, rifle, give me a ballpark. I mean, are we looking at 500, 800, 1,200, somewhere?
A decent rifle suppressor, you're looking anywhere from $600 to $1,200.
$600 to $1,200.
That's just the suppressor itself.
That's the suppressor. Okay.
Right.
So I can hand you $600, $700, $800, $900, $1,000, $1,200, and I can walk out with the suppressor.
No, that's the start of the process.
Oh.
Most places will always take the suppressor payment in full.
Okay.
Sometimes you come to me and say, I want to order a suppressor. You don't have exactly what I'm looking for. I need to order it.
Right.
We have a Class 3 license to sell, but we're also O2 manufacturer.
Okay.
So what we do is we apply to whoever we're going to get the suppressor from, and we initiate the paperwork, initiate the purchase, and on their end, they do the paperwork to notify ATF that they're sending us a suppressor, that we already have a license as well.
Okay.
So it takes anywhere from a month and a half to 2 months to get to our door first.
Okay. So that means if you don't have it in stock and I got to order it, I'm already waiting 2 months.
Correct.
Okay. Now, you mentioned paperwork. What do I have to sign? I mean, I know I have to sign a, you know, a form when I get a firearm. I got to do a 4473? I got to do that. I got to fill all that out, and it's worse for handgun, and it's worse in Maryland. What do I have to fill out for a suppressor?
For suppressors, it isn't any different in Maryland than it is anywhere else across the country.
So it's a universal federal form?
Yes, sir. That is true.
Okay.
So you can do it one or two ways. You can apply as an individual.
Okay.
Or you can apply it through a trust.
Right.
The trust, obviously, it's drawn up through a lawyer, or Signserco has a system on their line where you can, it's a download.
Okay.
You can do a cookie cutter style already done by some high lawyer somewhere along the line.
Right.
And just go by that line that way.
Okay.
Now, the federal government also just changed the rules on trusts. It used to be
right.
You could do the trust. And the individual that actually picks up the suppressor at the time, then they do the paperwork when it comes back, and we'll get to that here shortly.
Okay.
So now it doesn't matter whether it's an individual or the trust. Everybody needs fingerprinted, and everybody needs a photograph taken prior to submission of the BATFE.
Okay, so you got to choose whether it's an individual or a trust, but you said that something has changed. Regulations have changed, and now it doesn't really make that much difference is what you're telling me.
That is correct. You no longer have to get permission from your local LE,
right?
Your chief law enforcement officer.
Right.
Now you just have to give them notification that you're applying for a suppressor.
So you have to tell local law enforcement that you are applying for suppressor. Now, when you say local law enforcement, does that mean Maryland State Police, or does that mean Hagerstown Police? Does that mean Baltimore County Cops? What does that mean?
It's going to depend where your chief law enforcement agency is. In Washington County, your chief law enforcement agency is the Sheriff's Department.
Sheriff's Department. Okay, very good. All right, so we've got to order the suppressor or buy it outright, pay for it ahead of time, fill out the paperwork, notify local law enforcement, get our fingerprints done all ahead of time before we even submit the application. Is that right?
That is correct.
Hang on. Go ahead.
In most cases, some places can fingerprint you on the spot. Some places will need to send you off the location. an officer location to be able to do that, because you actually need a hard card.
Right.
They don't require a live scan.
Got it. Hang on a minute, Tim. We've got to take a little short commercial break, and I'll get right back to you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, folks, my buddy Denny Stelfer at Stelfer's Auction Company has his annual sportsman auction today, Saturday, October 8th, starting at 10 o'clock, so you got plenty of time to drive up there to Hagerstown. Now, the address for your GPS is 21140 Leadersburg Pike in Hagerstown, Maryland, and he's now accepting consignments. Well, he's done accepting consignments, but maybe if you go up there, you can talk to him. But you can go online and check all the firearms that are there right now while you're listening to the show. You can go to StauffersAuctionCo.com. That's www.stauffer, S-T-O-U-F-F-E-R-S, auctionco.com, and see all the great firearms on display at today's auction. Head on up there, buy yourself something great, come back and tell me what you did. Stauffer's Auction, annual sportsman's auction, today starting at 10 o'clock in Hagerstown. We'll be right back after this. Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
Soldiers returning with traumatic brain injuries or other serious battle wounds often spend weeks or months in a VA hospital or other rehab facility. DVDs for Vets is collecting DVDs and portable players for distribution in our community and nationwide. Many of us take for granted our access to everyday enjoyments, and DVDs for Vets needs your help in giving these injured soldiers some diversions from the monotony of a hospital stay during recovery. To donate new or used DVDs or to learn more about this worthy cause, please go to www.dvdsforvets.org.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back with Tim Hafer of Hafer's Gunsmithing, our great sponsor from up there in Hagerstown. And, Tim, I was thinking about that during the break. So we've laid out a fair amount of money for an accessory. We've filled out the paperwork. We've got our fingerprints done. We've contacted local law enforcement, and now it's time to send off for the stamp. Is that correct?
So as long as you get your hard card done for your fingerprints,
okay.
You got to get a photograph taken.
Right.
So they know your picture of you.
Okay.
And then we come here, we prepare the packet for you, your information, all that, and we prepare the packet, and we send it in certified mail. You will also write out a check to the BATFE for $200, or that tax stamp.
$200?
That is correct.
Okay, so let's say my suppressor came up at $900, and then do I have to pay to get my fingerprints and photograph done?
More than likely, that is correct. And don't forget about the Maryland sales tax as well.
Oh, so I've got $900 plus sales tax, so we're $1,000. I've got over $1,000 now, and I've got, and you know, this is just a process. I'm not making a complaint or anything else. It's just the way it works. Now I got to fill out a check for $200 to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, so that I can legally own this accessory, this device to quiet down my deer rifle. Yes?
That is correct.
Okay. So you send the package out certified mail to the BATF?
Yes.
Okay. So 2, 3, 4 days later, here comes my stamp back in the mail.
Hopefully as long as the U.S. Postal Service done its job.
So how long does it take?
Time's rough. Time's the pen. Speaking with the ATF agent, this last reflux, influx of suppressor sales because of this, with the notification of the trusts and stuff, the change in that aspect of it, we've seen a really spike in sales. Right now, they're almost backed up at 7 months and getting trusts back.
Okay, so if I choose the trust, we're looking at a 7-month turnaround time. After I've purchased my silencer, my suppressor, after I've sent my $200 stamp to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, after I paid to have my fingerprints and photo done, after we've notified local law enforcement, and it doesn't look to me like I'm going to be able to take that rifle with its accessory suppressor for this deer season. It looks like I'm talking 2018 now if I start today.
Correct.
Okay. So after all the work, all the background checks and everything else, all the notification, all the fingerprints, all the photography, all the paperwork that you guys have filled out, sales tax has been paid, suppressor's been paid for, I'm waiting 7 months for that letter to come from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm, and when it finally arrives, it's just like I've hit a non-resident Illinois bow tag. I'm guessing.
Christmas morning.
Yeah, happy days are here again. I got a letter from the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms, and I open it up, and what should I expect?
Actually, you're not going to open it up. They're going to send us the tax stamp. We're going to give you a call, let you notify. And then once you finally arrive here at our store, you then have to fill out a 4473, like you would do a deer rifle. We do another background check at that time, and they tell us because of the length of the time, something could have occurred since then, could have done a crime, whatever reasons, we still have to do a 4473 background check. Once you're done and good there, we sign off, all the paperwork's good, you get your $200 tax stamp, we explain some things to you, I'll go to the suppressor at any time you want, because obviously 7 months has gone by. You've probably forgot a few things.
Right.
Some people don't.
Right. What have you had to do to my gun in the meantime?
Well, if you already have it threaded,
mm-hmm.
You don't have to do nothing.
Okay.
The good part is if we already have the item, we're a full gunsmithing service here,
sure.
So we're capable of threading, machining,
mm-hmm.
chambering. So So we're able to thread your firearm for that suppressor as well.
Okay. So, oh, you're capable of chambering?
Yes.
Hmm. So my dad's old 7.7 Japanese Arisaka that I brought up to you to be Cerakoted, you could rechamber that for 30-06 or something like that?
No, you'd have to rebarrel it at that point because the caliber changed.
Oh, never mind. Okay, threw you off there a little bit. So, okay, so I've got everything in hand. You've taken care of the rifle. Is there a charge now since I purchased the suppressor? If I didn't have my gun, let's say I'd never had a Boss system on my A-bolt. Let's say you have to thread that. Is there an additional charge for your gunsmithing charge do that?
We charge the thread, and we also guarantee our threading. We do a single-point thread. We do it off the center of the bore, so it's one at a time, not in mass-produced.
Okay.
It's very important that happens. You can't use a simple tap and die set to do that because it's not necessarily done off the center.
Nor would I ever attempt to do it myself.
I
trust
Mark.
No, never.
Everybody has limitations.
Well, you haven't known me that long, but I think you figured out I have some limitations as my gunsmithing skills. That's for sure. So I trust the experts like you guys. That's right. Okay. So long story short, and a very long story. Buy the suppressor, pay the tax, fill out the paperwork, get my fingerprints, get my photograph, go back to local law enforcement, let them know that I'm purchasing a suppressor, fill out the paperwork, send it off with a check for $200 to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, wait 6-7 months for that letter to come, not back to me, but to you, then you notify me that I've got my stamp for my suppressor, I come to your shop, I fill out another 4473 just for the suppressor. And I'm assuming the firearm that it's going to be attached to, is that correct?
You can actually take your firearm home prior to it.
Oh, sure.
They're separated, but yeah.
Sure. So, but you're still going to want, BATF is still going to want to know through the National Instant Check System, that 4473 NICS form, that yellow form that everybody fills out if it's still yellow, that my Browning, in whatever caliber I said it was, 270, it now is going to have a suppressor attached to it, and here's a serial number, and here's my address, and here's my Social Security number, and here's my phone number, and here's all the information that you need from me if you ever need to track down that particular firearm again.
So I do apologize.
Now,
so if you brought your firearm for me to thread,
right,
to look at it,
right,
the BATFE doesn't know about that firearm per se.
Oh, they don't know about that firearm per se. Okay.
Because the only thing that they're going to know of is the serialization of the suppressor only.
Oh, okay. So it's not a duplicate effort on that particular firearm. This is
correct.
This is just the suppressor.
Right. The only way they would know is if we pin and weld the suppressor to your firearm. In such cases, for like SBRs, you wanted a solid piece. There's different variations, but 9 times out of 10, that doesn't occur.
Okay. 9 times out of 10. Got it. So all in all, I'm into this for basically almost a year invested, 9 months, 8 months, whatever it might be.
And in due respect to them, it all depends on the current environment. It wasn't at 7 months. It was typically anywhere from 4 to 5 months when we were getting individuals for their trust suppressors back. So
right.
In due respect to them, the environment's going to determine how much backlog they have in order to do the location.
Sure. Okay. Well, I mean, it's the government, and you know.
And an interesting fact of that is we send the certified mail down to Georgia.
Okay.
At the main office of the BATFE.
Okay.
Then they send it back up to Martinsburg to be investigated.
When you could walk it across the street and be there.
Well, yes. That would make sense. So
yeah,
that would be.
Yeah, I mean, Martinsburg, that's like paper airplane. Here comes the form.
Correct.
Good grief. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, listen, you have been extremely informative, and I appreciate the fact that you're a sponsor of the Outdoors and Radio Show, and I hope that our listeners, if they do consider a firearm or even want to go through this experience for a suppressor, that you're going to be the first Class 3 dealer that they call, and I hope they do. Folks, I just want to tell you, in addition to the commercials, you know, every time I've met with Tim and talked to him, he's been very personal, very professional. And he's been a great donor to the Maryland Hunting Coalition. Hafer's Gunsmithing is, you're into this full time, and you know you're trying.
It's a job, not a hobby.
Yes, you're trying to expand your business and reach out to other folks. And some of our listeners I know, I think even one of them stopped by the other day on his way back from a guy by the name of Chuck stopped by the other day on his way from West Virginia back home.
So, that is correct.
Yeah, so it's all good. And, Tim, I appreciate you joining us today and explaining the system. Is there anything else you want to tell us about suppressors?
No. Suppressor has its meaning, it has its purpose, and it's a very useful tool. It's like anything else. It's the unknown. When we have individuals come into the shop, they're like, oh, how can you sell them? And they'll see machine guns or such, and the uninformative is what it is.
Yeah.
And once you explain to it and inform people and they get information, they're like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you're a class 3 dealer. That's the only kind of firearms dealer that can sell these suppressors. You mentioned you're an O2 class manufacturer. I'm not sure what that is other than the fact that means you can install them and you can build a firearm there, I guess, if with all the paperwork is in place and that type of thing.
Yeah, well, the O2 deals with the Class 3 types, the machine guns, the suppressors.
Right.
We're able to manufacture suppressors and such as that, SBR, short-barrel rifles, short-barrel shotguns.
All right, SBRs. Okay, got it, man. I'll tell you what, Tim, you have given me more information here in a few minutes than I could have sought out online, and I hope our listeners are paying attention. And if they have any questions, of course, I'm going to just recommend them to you. If they email me today and want to know more, I'm just going to refer them to hafersguns.com.
Thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Hey, I appreciate you being here with us today.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, sir. And I'll catch up with you here shortly.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too, sir.
Bye-bye. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Attention, gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns? Hafer'sGuns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading? Hafer'sGuns.com. Repairs, parts, custom gunsmithing? Hafer'sGuns.com. Class 3 firearms? Hafer'sGuns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600 square foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing on the web at Hafer'sGuns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck Blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck Blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
My grandfather served in World War II. Spending time with him were the best memories of my life. I became a physician at VA because of my grandfather, so I can help others like him. I can't imagine working with better doctors or a more dedicated staff. I'm fulfilling my life's mission with the help of my team and thanks to these veterans. I'm proud to be a doctor at VA and proud to honor my grandfather every day. Search VA Careers to find out more.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Born on a mountaintop in Tennessee, greenest state in the land of the free. Raised in the woods, so's he knew every tree. Killed him a bar when he was only three.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Hey, but before we get to our next guest, let me tell you about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. They're your full-line Browning dealer. And I want to tell you that they have got, with the waterfowl season approaching, they've got four shotguns. I'm only going to tell you about two this hour. I'm going to tell you about the BPS pump. Now, that's available in 410, 28, 20, 16, 12, and 10-gauge, and even a 12- and 20-gauge rifled barrel deer models are available. But the BPS pump shotgun features bottom ejection, which is great for in a goose blind or the duck blind, because you're not shooting shells at your buddy to the right. Comes with an armor-coated Mossy Oak Breakup Infinity Camo finish, three Invector plus choke tubes, and then, of course, you can get all the custom tubes you want. The next one I want to tell you about is the Gold Light 10-gauge for you guys that really like to reach out there. Gas-operated autoloader, 3.5-inch chamber again, Dura-Touch armor-coating Mossy Oak Camo with choke tubes. Take a look at these two guns when you go to Clyde Sports Shop. If you're a waterfowler, those two are the ones. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. Our guest now for this segment is Mr. Bill Miles. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Alan.
How are you today, sir?
I am all well.
All well. Good. Glad to hear that. We had a summit a couple of weeks ago with the hunting community on the 25th of September in Annapolis, and we had about, 20-some folks show up from all realms, just about. We had some conservation groups there. We had some civic associations there. We had the DNR Wildlife and Heritage Service director there. We had a representative from the Maryland Natural Resources Police. And it was quite a lively conversation throughout the day, and we're just going to kind of summarize it here for our listeners in the next, 10, 12 minutes, something like that. But as we went around the room, what issues stuck out to you from the various people that we had from, all aspects of the hunting community?
Well, they were far-reaching and far-ranging, to say the least. let me think. Okay, I'd say there was probably 10 or 11 that really struck out, and let me see if I can name them for you, Alan. I mean, first one is, of course, youth recruitment. What can we do to get the next generation of hunters afield?
Right.
The disabled.
Yeah.
To get more access to public hunting by the disabled.
Right.
In terms of educational outreach and, whatever it takes to get them afield. Future funding for farmers and hunters feeding the hungry. It's always a dilemma faced by that program, which is a ministry program to provide donated deer to the needy. To go dog training in the field, you know, you have to have a hunting license. People were saying, why would you need a hunting license to train dogs in the field if you don't have a gun? The trappers are concerned that they've been deprived of trapping for they've had for years and years on certain public lands owned by DNR. Sunday hunting, always a big issue. State versus local. And very, very lively discussion on that. Deer hunting in suburban settings, you know, what can we do more to take out deer?
In Montgomery County in particular.
More of a coordinated and a time-sensitive response to calls by the public about poaching nearby. What would it take maybe to have what North Carolina and Virginia, our neighbors, enjoy with tundra swan hunting? Then there's always the ongoing dilemma faced by the NRP, Natural Resources Police, and Wildlife and Heritage about funding.
Short staffed, long time to get to the scene, short or long response time, and, you know, people, that's the number one complaint I hear when we're dealing with people, you know, just the folks I deal with on a day-to-day basis traveling around the state. You know, we call the number, nobody shows up. And I think we were encouraged by some of the information we heard on that front, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, one of the biggest problems, Alan, on that is, of course, you know, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it is beyond me for any kind of logically defensible reason. The state, through the General Assembly, merged the state park rangers with the Natural Resources Police.
Yeah, never did and, figure that one out.
Yeah, and as a result, you know, these NRP are having to do a lot of park-related duties that aren't really considered conservation law enforcement, which has forced them to focus on what's really happening out there today. And a lot of it's been these calls for poaching of rockfish and oysters and crabbing. And so there's been a lot of waterborne orientation and less land-based. And I think one of the issues we were addressing that day at the summit was we need more land-based NRP responsiveness to cases like where people call about poaching and no one shows up.
Exactly right. Well, it was, again, a lively discussion around the board, and we had the input from the wildlife director talking about some of the regulations that are coming down the pike to basically enforce the poaching Wildlife Poaching Prevention Act of 2012, which gives administrative authority to the Wildlife and Heritage Service for suspension and revocation up to 5 years of your hunting privileges and license. We had some good news on that those regulations were finally been established, and you know they've got to go through that process. But I was encouraged by the fact that the words "we finally closed the loop" on getting from a handwritten citation in the field through the court system back to the administrative part of the DNR, Wildlife and Heritage Service, and that type of thing. It seems to me like they've streamlined that process or are in the process of streamlining that process, and that was encouraging to me. We also heard that the regulations are also in play with the Poaching Restitution Act of 2016, which I've talked about extensively here, which increases the penalties to reimburse the state basically for the bad guy that steals a deer out of out of the landscape. And I just think that the meeting was nothing but positive when we heard from that. We also expressed our concerns with the NRP, and we got some good feedback on that. We know that the colonel would like to meet with the Maryland Hunting Coalition, and I think that's a positive step in the right direction.
Absolutely, and I think you know your listeners should know that really. Back to the park merger and just based budgetary cutbacks statewide. I mean, the NRP and Wildlife and Heritage have really been shortchanged because, you know, they're more special funded than general funded. And as a result, they just really don't have the manpower needed to do the job.
Right.
And so it's kind of hard to fault anybody on their end.
Well, they're now charged and tasked with patrolling different areas of the Chesapeake Bay that could be accessible to attack from an outside actor under the Homeland Security Service. And
so, yeah, a few people know that.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, a big part of their day is spent physically checking some of these facilities, like down your way, Calvert Cliffs. We have a nuclear power plant down there, you know, so they've got to be on constant alert for some bad actor trying to do some nefarious act there and other places as well. I mean, the harbor and other potentially vulnerable areas that these guys need to patrol. And they've gotten some money from the federal government for their role in Homeland Security. But we did learn that their greatest effort is to protect striped bass, rockfish, and blue crabs in the Chesapeake Bay, and the land-based stuff, which what the Hunting Coalition is concerned about, is right now, I hesitate to say, on the back burner, but because they are making some cases. But I mean, it's not like it should be.
No, and again, it's traced back to the funding issue, and what they've had to do is, like you said, with Homeland Security, but also the amount of publicly owned land in Maryland now that needs to be patrolled. I mean, wildlife and heritage has gone up with these WMAs, these wildlife management areas, from 20-some thousand 12, 15 years ago down to like 118,000 acres.
And not only that, we got the numbers on the number of retiring natural resource police officers. The force back 20-some years ago was 400 members, and we didn't have cadet courses for 4 or 5 years in a row, which basically took 125 or so people out of the mix. And they've suspended almost half of those positions and trying to operate on a force of half of what it was two decades ago. Is that?
If I remember correctly, they had back in 1990 like 451 authorized positions.
Right.
Okay. 1994, it was 223. Today, I mean, it's just barely 200.
Yep.
So in essence, over the last 20 years, they have half
exactly
the number of NRP enforcement officers out there doing the job.
Yep.
With one, an expanding population, more publicly owned lands, Homeland Security. So when someone, complains about the NRP not being responsive enough, you really kind of have to look at their burden.
Exactly.
And what they're having to balance. So, there's been multiple calls, and I believe the coalition will be one of those calling the loudest. We really do need to do something more to enhance funding for the natural resources police. We finally learned they're getting a helicopter back after having lost it for 15 years.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you can't enforce the laws for conservation unless you have the individuals at the boots on the ground to get out and do it. And they simply just don't have enough. It's really a sad situation.
It is.
With Maryland's NRP.
And I think that was one of the major takeaways. Anything that we have about a minute and a half, Bill, did you take away anything that smelled to you like there could be legislation being propelled by the Maryland Hunting Coalition in the 2017 session, or are we still waiting and seeing on some of this stuff?
Well, I think someone has to have the intestinal fortitude, for lack of a better word, to step up and say, we have to do something with NRP and wildlife and heritage.
Right.
And we're not saying a hunting license fee per se.
Nope.
Because we know how controversial that is, but there's got to be a creative way. And you remember, the Hunting Coalition works closely with the bipartisan Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Caucus.
That's right.
And we confer with them on a regular basis, and I think probably one of the biggest priorities in terms of the statutory front in 2017 might be serious consideration on what can we do, if nothing else, convince the governor to do a better job of general fund funding of the natural resources police, because all these resources are owned by everyone, and there's a lot of bad actors out there, pillaging these resources, and there's not a lot of punitive action. And we've given the tools to the NRP, as you mentioned, with the 12,000 2012 Act and the 2016 Act, but if you don't have the boots on the ground or the manpower, what good are the laws on the books?
Exactly. Bill, thanks for joining us today, buddy. We've come to the end of the hour, the end of the run, and we're just going to have to say goodbye at this point, and we thank you for coming on board, and the folks need to know that the Maryland Hunting Coalition does have its ear to the ground, and we're doing everything we can possibly do for the hunting community here in Maryland. And Bill Miles, you're the biggest part of it, and we thank you for that.
Much appreciated, as are you, Alan.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. There goes Bill Miles. There goes the end of our show. And, folks, stay tuned for the next hour. Coming up next, Matt Sell from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. We're going to be talking about some Deep Creek Lake hunting opportunities. And that'll do it for us. So it's time for me to say, get out, stay safe, and protect yourself.